if you would, in the Gospel of John, tonight, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5 tonight, we'll read the first 9 verses together, then we'll pray and ask God to bless the preaching of His Word tonight. Here in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, steppeth in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lay, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Arise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on this same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, God, you loose my tongue tonight and help me to preach. Help me to say all that you wish me to say tonight, Father. And I pray we'll take this Bible message, God, these verses that we have here before us, and we'll see the truth of each and every one of them, God. And you'll put in our hearts what we need for this week. Well, God, we'll go through this week in the work. We'll go through this week in the world. We'll go through this week out there in a sinful place. And Father, tonight we need something that would strengthen us, that would help us, God, that would encourage us. Lord, I pray, God, tonight for those who are lost, undone without Jesus Christ, don't know you as their Savior. Lord, that this evening, this day, will be the day of salvation for them. May they come to know you, God, as their Heavenly Father. I pray, God, you'll bless and move tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Notice what Jesus Christ asked this man, if you would, in verse 6. Jesus asked a remarkable question. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Here Jesus Christ was looking at this man that no doubt was maybe on a cot or on a bed. And Jesus went to where he was and he said, "Let me ask you a question. Wilt thou be made whole?" Of course, we ask that question in a certain way today. We ask you if you want to be saved, if you'll trust in Christ as your Savior. He's the only one that can make an individual whole. My friend, I had a family, we had a house, I had a job, I had all kind of toys, I had all kind of vehicles, but Jesus Christ is the only one that can fill that void, that can fill that emptiness that every one of us has. My friend, Jesus Christ is the only one that can take an individual that is wicked and sinful as we are and change our lives completely and make them whole. Look what it says in verse 9. The Bible says that immediately the man was made whole. I believe that's instantaneously. I believe that takes place the moment, the very second you trust in Jesus Christ. I don't believe you get saved, my friend, by coming up here and just praying a prayer, but I believe you get saved by receiving Christ into your heart. And no doubt we ask you to make a confession with your mouth that you'll pray and receive Christ as your Savior. You'll pray a prayer. I don't know if it's the person gets saved when they pray the prayer at this altar. I don't really get saved when they make a decision to get up out of their seat and walk forward to this altar. I don't know if they make a decision as the man of God's preaching, "Hey, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ today." I don't know exactly when the split second is when a person gets saved, but I know the very second a person gets saved, God makes them whole. Now, my friend, you might walk around with sickness. You might walk around with heartaches and disappointments, but my friend, you have all that you need within you. Christ has made you whole. Christ has made you complete in Him, and we have all that we need to live the Christian life from day to day. Here he said, "Sir, will thou be made whole?" And in verse 9, the Bible says, immediately the man was made whole. I want to draw your attention to this one verse here. "Wilt thou be made whole?" Here Jesus asked this man, "Will you be made whole?" I wonder why this man was sitting here for 38 years. I don't know if he was 38 years old. I don't know if he was older than that. I don't know if he got hurt when he was a youth, got hurt when he was in his 20s or 30s, but we do know that he was in this position for 38 years, and then Jesus Christ come to where he was at and asked him the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" What draw my attention to this passage of Scripture is what was surrounding this man when Jesus Christ asked this question. I want you to notice here in verse 1, the Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew dung, Bethsaida, having five porches. I want you to notice we have a pool here in verse 2. We have a pool. This pool represents the church, my friend and I. It's a type and picture of the church. You say, how do you know that, Preacher Scott? Because I told you. The Bible says there's a pool here in verse 2. The Bible also speaks that this pool, my friend, was in the Hebrew tongue called Bethsaida. Bethsaida means the house of mercy. My friend, I believe we got a house of mercy here. I believe God's mercy has allowed this church building to be erected and for us sinners to come to church and hear the preaching of God's word. Here, my friend, we have a pool, and this pool tonight represents the church. It represents what we have here. We have a beautiful church, and we want to keep it beautiful. That's why, my friend, we have certain rules for this church. We try to have rules. There's no eating and drinking in the sanctuary. We have a fellowship hall for that. We have 6 acres of land for that. You can get outside and eat and drink all that you want to, but this is a separate place. We try to encourage that the children eat no candy and chew no chewing gum in the church because we don't want it on God's pews. This is a separated place. We ask everybody to come dressed decently and in order when you come to God's house. My friend, God has given us something beautiful here, and the Bible refers to it as a pool. Notice in verse 2. Now, they're at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool. Notice this church building was right beside the sheep market. This word market means gate. In other words, this church was right beside the sheep gate. And my friend, I'm looking at a bunch of sheep tonight. Hey, I'm looking at a bunch of sheep that should be getting behind Jesus Christ and following him. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My friend, we will never want as long as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they are beside the sheep gate or the sheep market, this wonderful pool. And the Bible says this pool was called Bethsaida. This word Bethsaida means the house of mercy. And notice here, if I'm not mistaken, the Bible says, and having five porches. We know the number five is the number five. The number five is the number for grace. Boy, this house of mercy was by the sheep gate, and it was full of grace. Boy, my friend, that's how a church should be. A church should be a place of mercy. A church should be a place of grace. A church should be a place where the sheep comes and gets fed by God's mighty hand. But we have a pool here. I want you to notice, not only do we have a pool, but notice the people. Here in verse 3, the Bible says, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, and withered. Here, my friend, around this pool, there's a people that was in need. I'm going to tell you, around this church building, there's people that's in need. If you go down Sand Hill Road, any direction you want to go down, you'll meet people that's in need. If you go to Country Meadows, you'll find people that's in need. If you go to Walmart, you'll find people that's in need. My friend, if you hang around long enough, you'll find people that's in need. My wife can tell you, we have phone calls every week, 3 or 4 phone calls every week. Somebody calls and says, preacher, we need help. We need some money. We need help. We need to pay our lights. We need help. We need some medicine. We need help. We need to buy food. We need help. We've got to pay our telephone bill. We need help. We've got to pay our cable bill. We need help. We need help moving. A woman called me the other day. I was visiting somebody in the hospital, and I saw a lady down there at the very front desk, and I handed her a gospel tract, and I told her about Jesus. I showed her my number on there. I said, if there's anything I can do to help you, call me. Hey, the very next day she called, and she said, pastor, you remember me? You're the one that told me about Jesus. I said, I sure do. She said, well, I'm calling because I need some help. I thought maybe she wanted to get saved. I thought maybe she wanted a good church to come to. I said, well, what do you need? And she gave me the sad story. She said, my husband beat me. He beats me. He beats my children. I got 3 children with autism. He beats my children. He beats me. And we've got to leave the house before he kills us. I said, well, you need to go ahead and go. If he's going to kill you, don't let him beat your children. Don't let him beat you. I said, do whatever you have to protect your family. And she said, well, Pastor, I need some money to go. I said, how much do you need? She said, I need at least $700 for rent. And I need something to get my lights on and something to get my water going and somehow to move our furniture. I said, well, dear darling, I can't help you with the money, but I sure can pray for you. We got people that calls every week for something, my friend. But you know what people needs? Hey, people needs the Lord. It's not money people needs. It's not a new job people needs. It's not a new career people needs. It's not a new president we need. People needs the Lord. The Bible says here in verse 3, and these lay a great multitude. Not just 1 or 2 or 3 people, but there's a great multitude. My friend, I want you to see this pool represents the church. It represents mercy and grace and us following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all around the church is a great multitude of people that need something. The Bible said that these multitudes was impotent folks. They was blind. They was halt. And they was withered. We have people that's lost. We have people that's helpless. And we have people that's hurting. All around the church, they're lost, they're helpless, and they're hurting, and they need something that we have. I want you to notice there's one man the Bible speaks of in verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Can you imagine living like this? But I was 22 years old when I got saved. You know what? I wish I would have got saved younger. David, I don't know how old you was when you got saved, but you wish you would have got saved younger, don't you? You wish you'd got saved many, many years ago. My friend, you'll never come to anybody and ask them, do you wish you would have waited later on to get saved? If you're saved by God's grace, all of them will say the exact same thing. I wish I would have got saved earlier in life and lived for Jesus Christ. Here this man has been in this situation for 38 years. For 38 years, he's been dependent on somebody else. He's been hopeless and helpless in himself. For 38 years, he'd been sitting beside this pool of water. He'd been sitting beside the church house, waiting for something to take place in his life. We have the pool. We have the people. I want you to notice tonight the power. Look what it says in verse 3. In these lay a great, not just a few, but a great multitude of people. Multitude of people. Multitude of impotent folks, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Here are these people, my friend, they was all around the church house and they was waiting for something to change their lives. Boy, I can go through my life story. I can tell you, my friend, when I was just a teenage boy, I lived in this third trailer over here right beside the church. I can tell you as I got older, we moved a little bit further away from the church. My friend, as I got a little bit older and got on my own, me and my wife, we had a trailer right beside the Barn Hills. And we moved from the Barn Hills, and I believe we moved to Mullins, right beside the high school. And we moved from the high school. We moved out there towards Nichols. We just moved all over the place. And it seemed like we was getting further and further away from the church to one thing that would help us out in our lives. My friend, all around this church building, all around your house, all around your little cubicle at work, all around the little place where you spend your life is a great multitude of folks that's needing some help, that's waiting for the moving of the water. And my friend, the moving of the water is the power that God demonstrates in the house of God. Well, you know how I learned that I was lost? By coming to church. You know where I learned I needed to be saved? Was in the church. You know where I learned how to live the Christian life? You know where I'm still learning how to live the Christian life? In the church. My friend, here the church is the pool. And all around the pool was great people, a bunch of people that needed help. They was waiting for something that would change their lives. During a certain season, a certain time of the year, and I don't quite understand it, an angel will come down from heaven and a great pool where all these impotent folks lay, he will somehow disturb the water. And the first one that could come down into the water as the water was moving, my friend, was made whole of whatever disease and ailment and any kind of cancer or anything that he might have had. He was made whole of it. It was all taken away. It was all gone. And this man for 38 years, you know what he said? He said, I've been waiting beside this pool to get help. I wonder how many people have been waiting beside the church to get help. I wonder how many people's waiting beside your house that needs help. I wonder how many people stands beside you at work as you work, and that friend, that co-worker, that one that you're getting to know, my friend, needs some help. I wonder how many family members we have that need some help. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about clothes. I'm talking about, my friend, help. Help that comes from the Lord. Help that comes from salvation. Help that comes, my friend, from Jesus Christ. We need help tonight. People need help tonight. You do your best to pay attention. People need help tonight. And it's not food they need. It's not a friend they need. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. This man for 38 years was standing beside, sitting beside, laying beside this water. He was waiting every year for the angel to come and disturb the water so he could just fall into it and be made whole. Can you imagine living for 38 years, knowing what your problem is, knowing what you need, knowing it was available, but knowing you couldn't get it? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine living for 38 years, knowing that you had a problem, knowing what the answer to your problem was, and knowing that many times, once a year, the answer to your problem was right beside you, my friend, but you couldn't get to it? Here, this man was right beside the pool, the church house. Well, how many people's going to die this year that's right in the side of this church? They're going to die this year and bust hell wide open. My friend, how many people's going to die this year that's part of your family, that's one of your friends, and my friend, they're going to go to a devil's hell? I don't know the statistics, but they say so many people die every second. Now, of those so many people, over half of them goes to hell. My friend, how many people's in the side of this church that's going to die and go to hell? I wonder that. Here we have the pool, we have the people, we have the power. I want you to notice what the problem was. The problem. Notice what the problem is in verse 6 and 7. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been there now a long time in that case. He said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." You know what this man's problem was? It wasn't that he was an impotent man. It wasn't that he couldn't help himself. It wasn't that he couldn't get to the answer, my friend. This man's problem was that nobody cared enough for him to get him up out of his cot, to get him up out of his bed, to get him up out of his chair, and put him in the water when the water was moving. Here, this man's problem. You know what the problem this man had? He had a problem that no one cared for him. I believe, if you will, find this verse, Psalms 142. I believe it's in Psalms 142. Let me make sure before I tell you wrong. Psalms 142, if you will. One of the most saddest verses in the Word of God that I've ever read. Psalms 142, I want you to see what it is. One of the saddest verses in the Bible that I've ever come across. In Psalms 142, verse 4. Psalms 142, verse 4 says this: "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Boy, that's the one of the most saddest verses I've read in God's Word. Here the psalmist says, "Hey, I've looked on my right hand." The right hand is the hand of strength. He said, "Hey, I looked on the side where I was supposed to have some strength and help. I was supposed to have someone there to help me in my time of need." He said, "But I want you to know something. I beheld. I've looked on my right hand. I've looked and looked and looked and beheld. But there was no man that would know me." I've met some church members like this. You go to Walmart, they see the preacher coming, they don't know me. They turn around and go down the next aisle. Me and my wife enter a shop and we'll see some church members or we'll see some church visitors or we'll see somebody we've been witnessing to for years and we'll see them down a meat aisle and my friend, they cut corners, they take off on track and field and they run down a meat aisle as fast as they can and cut by the water cooler and go out the back door just so we won't have to talk to them. We met some people like this. You know what he said? He said, hey, I looked on my right hand and I kept looking and kept looking and kept looking, but nobody knew me. Refuge failed me. Refuge failed me. You know what that means to me? Refuge failed me. You know what he says? He says, hey, I've got refuge right here. I've got something that could help me out. And they promised if I take this swallow of water, it would cure all my diseases. It would take care of all my problems. He said, hey, I drunk the water, but it done no good. You know what he said? He said, refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. Can you imagine that? People's got problems. People's out of the ordinary. People, my friends, sometimes we look at them and say, hey, they're not normal. Got some in the church, they're not normal. They're not like us. They're doing craziness. They're doing something that maybe is out of the ordinary. But they still need somebody to care for them. 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 Somebody help me out and say amen every once in a while. Somebody still needs to care for them. Somebody needs to care for them. You see this man here, somebody needs to care for him. Old sinner like this needs to be saved. And he comes to your church and my church, my friend, because he needs some help. Let me get a man and take this man and take him in the men's prayer room and show him how to be saved. Who'll do that tonight? Take your Bible and show this man how to be saved. Somebody needs to care for him tonight. He come walking down the road to come to church. He said, preacher, I need somebody to care for me. I need somebody to pray for me. Hey, bless God, somebody needs to take your Bible and show this man how to trust in Jesus. Show this man how his sins can be cleansed, how his sins can be washed away, how he can know Christ is his Savior, how he can know heaven's his home. My friend, hey, we just need to care for people. Hey, you go in this room, and my friend, you do business with Jesus. Hey, you get saved tonight. You trust in Christ tonight, and Jesus Christ will save those who come to him with the repentant heart and confess their sins to God. Hey, God will save any and everybody, my friend. This impotent man that nobody wanted, that nobody cared for, that everybody looked at, just needs somebody to care for him. He probably won't be perfect. He won't be like you. He won't be like me. But he could get saved and go to heaven. And then he'll be perfect. You know what his impotent man said? He said, hey, I'm right beside the church where there's mercy and grace. And the church has got the power. They got what I need. They got the word of God. He said, but I want to tell you something. No man took time enough to come to my place and tell me about Jesus. No man has cared for my soul. This man come during a vacation Bible school. He come in wide open. He said, preacher, I need to get saved. And what happened? He's done something in his life that he wishes 1,000 times over he had never done. That night he didn't get saved, but he was wanting that burden of sin to be rolled away. Today, after some of you left this church building, we hung around just for a little bit of time, giving the children that rode the bus and the children in the children's ministry, we gave them a little snack so they don't have to go to home hungry. While we was hanging around, he come wide open there in the church. He come inside. He said, preacher, I need to pray. I need to get things right with the Lord. I brought him to this altar. Brother Robert and my wife are standing in the best of you. When we got this altar, I said, all right, Ted, you want to get things right with God, you pray and ask him to forgive you. My friends, if you was here, he confessed the sins he's done, the sins he's committed. He needs help. And he just didn't say some weak, anemic prayer. Boisterous, loud, "Lord God, I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me." And he confessed his sins out loud. Because he needed someone to care. I said, "Would you come back tonight?" He said, "I'll see you tonight." You know what? I could have said, "Well, sir, I'm too busy. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm running the bus route. Hey, I just got through preaching. I'm too busy, sir, to mess with you. I'm too busy to mess with a stuttering drunk. I'm too busy to mess with somebody that's like you. I just wish you'd go to another church because you won't never fit in here." Hey, you don't have a pastor like that. It don't matter if it's someone like that or if it's a lawyer. If I can help them, I want to help them. Here, this man that stood by this pool, he said, "Hey, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in." You know what his problem was? Us. That just don't care. We're too high and holy and mighty to care about anybody else down below the totem pole. So you know what? If they can help us and help our church, we'll care for them. If they can give offerings and build our ministry up and somehow add something to our church, hey, we care for them then, we want them then, we invite them in then, hey, we'll be your best friends. Those people down below us that can't help us, that can't contribute to this church, that can't do one thing, we just overlook them and say, "Hey, somebody else will care. Somebody else will help. No man cares for my soul. Just need people to care." And some having compassion, making a difference. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for the message you preached to our hearts tonight. Not only me, but all of us. You sent something by our way tonight that was not planned, that was not put together by humans. But thy divine will, God, tonight, you've brought a man by our way to show us that we need to care for others. That we thank you, God, tonight, for what you've done for us, for my salvation that you've given me. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Let's stand to our feet, if you will, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. The invitation starts. The altar's open tonight. You give this man the name of Bill, and you say, "Bill, what's your problem?" He say, "Well, church, I tell you my problem is I'm halt, I'm withered. I can't work. I can't pay my bills. I can't buy groceries. I need help." I believe Bill will say, I tell you the biggest thing, I need Jesus. And the biggest problem I have is everyone in the world overlooks me because I'm nothing. Bill will say, "No man cared for my soul."